And welcoming.
John, you want 5-5?
Just 10 and 5. Yeah, 10 and 5. Hi, I'm John, compulsive eater.
Hey, John.
And I'm actually from out of town. I should have, I'm from Los Angeles. And I'm going to send around some pictures to show you I earned my seat here. I joke that I'm the only person I know who sends around pictures, in addition to himself, sends pictures of other people around. And the reason I do is there two of those pictures are of sponsees that I had that are dead. They're dead as a direct result of this disease. And one of them that you see there, Jim Brady, was 600 pounds. And he died in a fire because he was too heavy to get out. And Dan was in a massive relapse. And they found him in a chair with all his binge foods and stuff like that. So I just like to mention it because, you know, that's the program I'm in. You know, I'm in the one with the body count. You know, it isn't like, it isn't one of the things between Jenny Craig and Weight Watchers for me. It's a way of life. I've been in a program. I've been sober in AA, and I've been in this program for 34 plus years. And it's funny. I'm going to be celebrating my 35th AA anniversary in Ireland, which I think is very appropriate, because I come from two long lines of Irish alcoholics from way back. And not going to go into my story there, obviously, other than to say that having been raised by two different alcoholics who they split up, and I kept going back and forth between the frying pan and the fire, as I like to say, you get some really bad attitudes, you get some really bad ideas of what the world's about, and the world's all, you know, full of miserable people, they're all out to get you, and we didn't talk about things. We talked plenty about sports, about politics, about everything, just not about anything, about how we felt inside about anything. And crazy things would happen in the house, and the next day everything's fine. It didn't happen, practically, which was really crazy making if you're a kid. But the most important thing I got being the child of these addicts is they would do something. You know, they will never say, you know, oh, drinking and drugs is a good thing for you, but you watch certain behaviors, and one of them was they would get upset, and then they would say, I need a fill in the blank. I need a drink, I need a cigarette, I need a pill. And what that told the little kid is, oh, gee, if I don't like how I'm feeling in here, there's something outside I can put in here that'll make it better. And for me, at that very early age, it was food, you know. And I grew up as the little fat kid in school, and that's lots of fun. the guy who was the first male member of OA was a guy named A.G. He was a great guy, and he used to say there's no hell on earth like being a fat kid, because, you know, I've been a fat kid, I've been a fat adult, but, you know, they're, you know, fat kids are just right between the eyes. And so I grew up with that. I grew up also as what they call a gifted child. You know, so I felt, you know, I guess at the time, I think everything evens out as you get older, but I really was, you know, smarter than the other kids. And the thing is when you feel like a piece of garbage about yourself because you're fat and everybody makes fun of you about that, you look for any little thread of something you can pull on for self-esteem. And for me, that was my brain. And, you know, for years, even into adulthood, you know, until I was in program for a couple of years, if I met you, I had to make sure you knew just how smart I was as quick as I could, you know, using large words, correcting your English. Nothing endears you to people like correcting their English. But what it did is it sort of estranged me from my fellows between being fat and being, you know, there was the world and there was John. That's the way I felt growing up. And the idea was, it's not like I wanted to be like everybody, you know. I wanted the drug, but I didn't want the effects. And in fact, I had a sponsee once. I was quoting the line in the More About Alcoholics in the Big Book, where it says, it's the great desire of every compulsive eater to someday eat like a normal person. And he looked at me and goes, no, we don't. We don't want to eat like normal people. A normal person is in a restaurant, gets a piece of cake, and goes, ooh, that's too rich, and pushes it away. I don't know about you. I don't get that one at all, you know. And I realize he's right. We want to eat the way we want to eat and have none of the ramifications, which are certainly true with me. And And so, you know, even at a young age, I was Weight Watchers and every crazy diet, the Stillman diet, the grapefruit diet, all these crazy things. And, you know, when I first came to the program, I would say, well, I was on every diet and none of them worked. And the reality was I was on every diet and they all worked. They all worked once, you know, because I'm a good little student and you give me the course thing and tell me these are the things I got to do. Well, I'm going to do them. But the trouble is I've also got the brain of an addict. So immediately after that first time and it would work, then my addict brain's looking for the loopholes. And then, of course, it doesn't work after that. And that was the story of my life till I came to program. I went through high school in a town called Greenwich, Connecticut. And I don't know if anybody's ever heard of it. But it's sort of the Beverly Hills of the East Coast, except my father's a car salesman, and we have no money, and we're living in like a one-room apartment. And so, you know, like, I don't feel bad about myself enough already. I'm going to school with kids who are, you know, driving to school in Mercedes, and I can't even afford a bicycle. So, it's, you know, it's just miserable. The other thing that happened was a real party high school there, and I didn't drink because I, being the little brainiac, I read, oh, children of alcoholics tend to become alcoholics, and I'm not going to do any of that. I don't want anything like my parents, but, and I didn't all the way pretty much through the end of high school, but I was also, you know, maybe 17, 18, terribly shy around the opposite sex, heavy, and so I'm not going to the prom, didn't date during high school, but, and I literally found alcohol, and the only reason I was interested in alcohol is all of a sudden I could talk to women. I mean, there's a TV show on that had a character like that. Well, that was me, and then I fell in love with it because it made me self-confident, it made me at ease with myself, and so I ended up going 0 to 60 with that. And the only reason I mention this is that it was the first time in my life I was actually able to lose weight for any extended period, because essentially I turned my sugar into liquid form. And the other thing I did is I did crazy dieting. You know, I look back now, and I would like not eat for a week at a time, and then I'd binge one night, and then I would not eat for a week at a time. Well, if you're a 20, maybe 18, 20-year-old boy with the metabolism of a hummingbird, you know, and you don't eat for a week at a time, and then you binge, you're still going to lose weight. And what that told me, and I thought about it later, I said, you know, there was a part of me that knew there was no dimmer switch on this. There was on and off, and that's all there was, and that's all I could do was not eat or eat, because I some level I realized I was powerless over this disease. So I went 0 to 60 with that. I lost weight, got down to a normal weight for about 10 seconds, had my first relationship, first girlfriend, and then alcohol took over and went off on that, and then, of course, the compulsive eating came back as well, and so I always joke, I said I was fat, then I was a drunk, then it was a fat drunk, you know, and so I came in December 1980, I ended up coming to AA. I'd come to a few meetings, and I wanted nothing to do with this 12-step thing, because it's this big religious program that I want nothing to do with. That was my feeling. And I remember having this argument with the guy who became my first sponsor, putting away chairs, and I'm like, I can't be part of this. This is a religious program. And he says, no, it's a spiritual program. And I'm like, no. And we had the steps and traditions up on the wall of this clubhouse, and I'm like pointing to it. So he says, God, him with a capital H, you know. And he looked at it, and he says, okay, leave it out, you know. And you give somebody with my kind of brain something that simple. And I went, what? And he said, look, your disease is looking for any reason right now to head out the door, you know. I promise you, you can live to be 100. Nobody's going to ever make you have to believe anything you don't want to believe. You know, just keep coming back. And the fact that he said it in that way made all the difference for me. Because, you know, I've heard people tell newcomers, oh, keep coming, you'll get the God thing. Well, that would have sent me out just as fast because, oh, my God, the cult is going to get me. But because he said it that way, it allowed the door to be just opened a little crack, you know, the old mustard seed thing. And then in my early days, I wanted to argue and I wanted to understand, you know, how can it be a God if there's a, you know, a Holocaust? How can it be, you know, and he would just look at me and go, well, I guess if you knew that, you'd be God, wouldn't you? You know, but he, you know, he told me, just keep coming. He said, the only thing you ought to understand about a higher power is you're not it, you know, and that really was the key, you know. And I, you know, as I tell sponsees now, you don't have to believe in any particular higher power. You just got to believe you're a lesser power. And that's, to me, the real important thing. I came in and I started to get sober. I went back on that crazy dieting. As a result of all that, I ended up having a slip in that other program. And then when I came back for hopefully the last time, by then I'd heard of OA. You know, you come into one program, you hear about, what's the joke? If you're not in three programs, you're in denial somewhere. So I heard of OA, and then as soon as I heard of OA, the light bulb went off. Well, this is why I got this great brain. I can do all these things, and it's of no use. And so I came in, I fell in love with OA. I got a sponsor, and I was doing well, and the sponsor ended up leaving program, and I was like, well, I don't need a sponsor, I'm in the other program, and I got a sponsor there. And it worked for quite a while. And
that's 10.
10? Okay. And then it didn't, you know, and then I started having slips and everything. I ended up back in and getting, you know, in program, and then I got down to a healthy body weight. I met somebody. We got married. We moved out to LA, and then my program really fell apart. And part of it was I got on this relapse cycle. A couple weeks on, a couple weeks off, a couple months on, a couple months off, and it was just miserable. And eventually, you know, knock on wood, it's been 21 plus years now. I was given the gift of abstinence back, and I really do believe it's a gift that I get. And it's given to me. I have no choice as to, God knows every Monday I would get up and try it. And all of a sudden one day, I don't know, my higher power said, okay, he's had enough, you know. And I believe it's a gift, but I also believe I give it away. Nobody's going to take it from me. I give it away. And I need to put as many impediments between me and that first bite as I need to. One of the problems is when you're going through a relapse cycle, and I'm going to talk about this at something I'm doing later, is that if you've gotten abstinent and lost it and gotten it again, there's a part of your brain that says, well, wait a minute, they're telling me I'm powerless, but look, I broke my abstinence, I got it back. I broke my abstinence, I got it back. And it was true. If I went out, I knew eventually I'd come back, I would eventually grind the train to a halt. I would have to go to 90 meetings in 90 days, might have to get a sponsor, might have to do a lot of writing, might have to really focus, but eventually I would grind that train to a halt again. And the trouble was, because that was true, I was just setting up the next one. You know, the clock would start ticking, because I didn't believe I was powerless. And the reality was, I wasn't powerless in the small picture. In the small picture, I was powerful, but the trouble was I needed to pull back and see, no, I'm powerless in the big picture. And the thing that changed for me is how I saw powerlessness. And for me today, you know, when we came in years ago, you used to hear this, we don't eat no matter what, and it was very rah-rah. And I heard somebody put it much better. They said, if you're a compulsive eater and you've made food an option, it's always going to be the only option. It's always going to be the path of least resistance. And I really saw that that was true. And also, there was no growth going on, you know? I was like a rat going down the maze and going down the wrong thing of a maze and banging my head at the end of it and then backing all the way out of the maze and going down the same damn one again, which was to go to the food. And I needed to not do that and get through things, because I'm an emotional painophobe. I don't want to go through that, so I want something to numb me. And that was it. And it took me a long, long time to get some of that. And then the other thing about a higher power is, you know, when I tell sponsees, I battled and had to come to some terms with it. And it's a higher power of my own understanding, which is not the higher power I was born with. You know, I was born with the guy with the white hair, you know. And, you know, I come from two lines of nasty Irish alcoholics, so a male God's just not going to work for me or anything like it. And you know, what I tell people is, I said, you know, whatever anybody's concept of a God or a higher power is, it you probably believe it started before 1935. Well, if you think about it, I mean, in my years in program, and still today, I know Catholic priests, Catholic nuns, rabbis, ministers, cantors, all of them are in this program. If it was simply a matter of a conscious contact alone with a higher power, they wouldn't have had to been here. But they need, I believe, somebody said once, God, the 12 steps were God's answer, God's gift to the 20th century, you know, that this was the rowboat we were given. And the priests, ministers, and rabbis, they still have to get in the rowboat. And I tell newcomers who have trouble with the concept of a higher power, make the program, make this process the higher power. I happen to believe it came from God. If you don't want to believe that, fine, just snip the thing and do what it's told, you know. And when I came in, I remember they used to really say, take direction, you know. I needed help. I needed to have somebody help me. And I'm a real big believer in a food plan. You know, there's an old saying you guys probably heard about, you know, OA without steps is a diet. But I also say OA without a food plan has a name too. It's called Al-Anon. You know, if you think about it, it's a great program to help you integrate the steps in your life, but it's not going to do anything for my food. And for me, when I was going through that crazy relapse, I had all these great, I'm going to work on the spiritual, and I'm praying for the willingness. You know, I heard a speaker at a convention once say, when it comes to addiction, willingness is highly overrated. She said, it's really pain. Pain is what drives you. You can't will willingness. And I'll wrap it up that one of the things I realized with my relapse was that it got up, my disease got up every day with one job to do, and that was to get me to kick the can down the road another day on putting the food down. And I just got to tell you, I believe, you know, that I've read that big book backwards and forwards, and nowhere in there is it, work on all this stuff, and then when you're done, you will be sober. You know, I have to put the thing down to, I need to put my substance down to get better, and thanks to this program I have, and it's been a much better program, life day at a time. Thanks.